Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I am absolutely honored that you joined the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. That's what we're about. This podcast, this platform, what we do at Industrial Talk is to celebrate you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. You're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you innovate. Boy, do you innovate. You're changing the world, and you are changing people's lives. We're going to continue our series into the heroes of manufacturing. You know why? We need to celebrate them. We need to highlight the wonderful job that they are doing. So let's get going. Let's not lollygag anymore. Yeah, we do. Manufacturing. They're just off in the back. They do their stuff and make our lives better. You know, we just keep merrily going about our business, and yet manufacturing, the people, the human component, they just do it. And they do a great job at it. And they're always constantly looking for other opportunities to improve that process, make that product better, deliver services and solutions that meet, definitely, and surpass whatever our expectations are. So in this on this particular podcast, we're going to talk to the president of Delta Systems. Her name is Lissa Berry. Now, she's Elizabeth Berry, but she goes by Lissa. And we're talking about what's interesting. We're talking about how a manufacturing process, a company that's been in business, I think she said, for 48 years, shift on a dime, to be able to adjust the manufacturing to continue to deliver the products that they need to deliver during the time of pandemic. And she just talked about, okay, we got to do this. Her team, she was very appreciative of the government in Ohio, the guidance that they provided, the leadership that had been provided. Also, Team Neo, once again, they have done a fantastic job. And she was completely and utterly appreciative of that. And it's still, once again, we talk about the necessity to collaborate. You know, Delta Systems, Lissa did that. We talked about how to innovate. Absolutely. You don't just need to innovate from a technology point of view, but you innovate from a human point of view. And manufacturing is human. And you've got to pull in information. You've got to learn. You've got to figure out solutions. Definitely, constantly learning. And you got to do it with a sense of speed. And you can't be frightened. You can't be fearful of making mistakes. And that's why heroes of manufacturing and professionals like Lissa and the team that's at Delta Systems is so phenomenal, and as well as all of the other manufacturing that goes on. So what I want you to consider and think about, especially now, is how do you get involved? How do you participate? It's simple. You go out to the heroes, not the heroesofmanufacturing.com, heroesofmanufacturing.com, and everything, all the interviews, all the videos, everything that you want to hear about the best of the best when it comes to manufacturing is all out there. And if you want to, you know, participate, boom, it's out there. If you want to be more and say, hey, how can I get more involved? It's all out there. You will be talking to me. Now, it's a collaborative movement, and it includes a lot of companies that are passionate about celebrating manufacturing. And this couldn't happen if it wasn't for Hitachi Vantara. You need to go out to their website. They're a leader in manufacturing 4.0 and much more, as well as other companies that we will make known throughout the podcast. So enough about that. Go out to heroesofmanufacturing.com. Get involved. Nominate somebody, right? It's all positive. All right. Enough with the business. Enough with the stuff. Let's start talking a little bit about Lissa Berry, president of Delta Systems, and what that company had to do and the people of that company had to do during this very challenging time and how they're going through it and how they're going to be successful, not just from their perspective, but how they impact the community and everybody else at large. So enjoy this conversation with Lissa Berry, president of Delta Systems. All right, Lissa. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. I'm really happy and excited that you made time in your busy schedule all the way up on Northeast Ohio. Thank you very much for joining. How are you doing today?
Today, thank you. I'm doing well. The nice thing is it's Thursday and feels like a Wednesday, so that's always a benefit.
You know, we've been on quarantine, and I've lost track of time sometimes when we were doing quarantine. I thought I had it all dialed in when we started sort of rolling in, opening up again. And then we had Memorial Day. Then I'm back off. I'm just like, I don't know what day it is. I have no clue. I'm struggling again. And I couldn't remember. I'm like, what day is it today? But it is Thursday. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. All right.
You got the month of June to get yourself together.
Thank goodness. And then my daughter's has a birthday at the end. So I'm really pretty excited about that. Now, you've said yes to joining the Heroes of Manufacturing. We're going to highlight you, your company, the people of your company, and why you're such an incredible, you know, professional, incredible company, and why manufacturing as a whole during this pandemic, quarantine, whatever we want to call this delicious soup that we're living in. So before we get into that, give us a little background of who Lissa is. By the way, listeners, it's L-I-S-S-A, Lissa. Just remember Melissa, get rid of the M, and now you got Lissa. Boom. Hi. Hi. Give us a little background there, Lissa.
My formal name is Elizabeth. I don't know how I got the nickname Lissa. I always ask my mother, and she doesn't really give me a clear answer, but you know what? Got to go with it.
They're mothers.
I am president and CEO of Delta Systems. We make electromechanical switches primarily for the riding lawnmower industry. The little niche. It's a great little niche.
Wow.
My father-in-law started it about 48 years ago. And we've grown with the safety portion of the tractors, the riding lawnmowers. And I'm a born and raised New Yorker, but moved with my husband out here to the Cleveland, Akron area 15 years ago. When my father-in-law was getting sick, and we decided we needed to make sure that the company continued with what we felt was the family influence. And I guess I got the short straw and became president after my father-in-law died, and I've been running it ever since.
Now, here's a now you just sort of transitioned from father-in-law dying, and I was going to come out with a funny story, so it didn't transition real well. Now I'm very uncomfortable, but I still have to have that funny story. So I grew up in California, and in California, we have small yards. I grew up in a desert, and then we moved to Orange County, small yards. And so I could mow my lawn in a matter of 20 minutes, and that's including conversations I would have with people in the neighborhood. So 20 minutes max, boom, done. Rest of the day is mine. We moved to Louisiana, and there's a lot more land. And we bought a house, and it had more land. And all I had was just this little push mower. I thought I was going to die. But you know what? I prevailed, and I never bought a riding mower, which I should have. Get a little Delta parts.
Yes. Thank you. Keep it in mind. It's not too late.
There it is. Upselling right there. Ladies and gentlemen, upselling.
Always right selling.
Always selling. Now, we're starting to phase in. We've been through this pandemic. It's still a pandemic-ish.
Right.
I don't know what it is. And now we're starting to phase in business again. How did this current situation impact Delta System? What modifications did you have to sort of deploy to keep, you know, the lights on and all of the good stuff? What did you guys do?
Luckily, we were closed for a week, but then deemed essential because we supply the John Deere's of the world, and they needed, because we make safety components for the industry, for their tractors, they can't make a riding lawnmower without our seat switch, our PTO, six of the components that we put on most of the riding lawnmowers made in the world, as a matter of fact. So we went back up and running with a skeleton crew the second week after DeWine, our governor, shut down the state. So we had probably a quarter of the workforce come in, and we started the initial social distancing. We immediately started taking temperatures and adjusting whatever we could adjust. But what was truly beneficial to us, as we started to ramp up to full staff, we were able to make note of what needed to be adjusted. Little things that you wouldn't have thought of. I mean, tables in the lunchroom. We took out the microwaves because everyone would just touch it. We even shut down the refrigerator, so everybody has to have their own little cooler in the car. There is no more access to the lockers because they could be too close to each other. But that stuff, we were very fortunate to be up and running soon after the governor closed the state, because we were deemed essential, but it also gave us the time to take a step back and do all the right things to make sure that all the employees were safe and comfortable once we got back to full staff. We run three shifts, 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week, normal production. We did not get back to three shifts until the governor allowed us to open up fully, which was about 3 weeks ago. So by that time, we had it down. We staggered starts so that shifts wouldn't end when another shift was starting. And again, each employee knows that they'll have their temperature taken. Certainly when we went up to full staff, we also told everyone they had to wear a mask. But if there were some medical issues or problems and people didn't feel comfortable wearing the mask, we then offered shields. We were able to get some shields. So it's been an ongoing thing, but now 3 weeks of full production. This is our third week. Everyone seems pretty comfortable. And to
see,
me,
what's interesting about
thing.
What you were talking about, you see, in manufacturing, we're used to doing, it's like, this is where we're going. Here is our production. And you just get into this routine of right. what you do and how you do it. And, you know, you're safe. You're all of the, you do everything that you need to do, because over a period of time, you perfected it. And you're constantly looking at ways of improving the process. Right. And then all of a sudden, you've got this sort of this pandemic. And now you have to change that thinking. It's like, oh, the lockers are too close. Oh, you got the micro. See, that to me is fascinating on how nimble a company can be that has been doing one thing or a series of things a certain way. And then all of a sudden this hits you. And now you got to think through the whole thing. How did your management just like, you know what? Hey, you know, the microwaves, everybody touches the micro. How did that process happen?
That was kind of stage two. Stage one, which I didn't even bring up, is what we did and how we altered some of the manual lines where people were right next to each other. We certainly had to do social distancing there. So my head of maintenance and safety and my head of floor management are very ingenious people. So we have separated out lines. If they were all sitting at a table together, if they could alternate and put someone on the other side of the line, on the other side of the table to make it work, we've done that. We've moved people off to a separate area to do the initial component or the build, whatever's necessary. So, you know, it's the efficiency is not quite there, but it's still right. working. Right. But what I found very ingenious is a lot of the lines have a pipe that's cut in half. So it has the ability to send a part on to the next person in line without touching them. So it's kind of like a slide. So they'll take the part that they've built and it just literally slides down this cut up pipe to the person next in line. So nobody has to touch it or be near each other when they're touching it. So
so
it's working out well. And so, everyone knows that they all have their own alcohol. No, that doesn't sound right. Cleaning alcohol.
Right. But you know what the funny part about it was the fact, like, yeah, I know where she's going with this, because right. I have absolutely enjoyed some beverages.
No, it's not happy hour all the time. But so they're supposed to clean down their work area before they start. If they're the shift change, if they have to, then they have to clean it before they leave, so everybody has that down. I joke with the maintenance department that I can tell when the people have been through to clean, because there's a nice smell of, you know, of bleach or cleanliness. And we put up a lot of plexiglass windows. I think we bought the whole area out of the shower curtains, because that was an extra way to divide up areas. We've done it all. I mean, to the extent that we went is phenomenal. Wouldn't have thought about it, but the priority is to keep everybody safe and have everyone walk in the building and then walk out of the building safe, happy, and healthy. And I think we've done a very good job of that.
So this is because the culture of manufacturing tends to be very, I get up, I do this, and I go home, and things in between, and deal with challenges. But really, there's a routine that exists. Right. How did your valuable talent, people, employees deal with this? It's change. It's big time change. How do they deal with this change?
Well, I think, because it is a pandemic and it is not anything to do, it's all due to a health problem. A lot of people thanked us for making them feel comfortable coming to work.
Wow.
Getting adjusted to it. Oh, yeah. You know, somebody doesn't want to build the initial component to one of our plungers off by themselves, but so be it. And they understand that. And that's the great thing. No one really pushed back after the initial day of trying to figure out how to wear safety glasses and the mask, because of course you're fogging up, but now everyone knows that if someone's fogged up, you just kind of wait a minute and go by the fan and hopefully it helps out. But the nice thing is everybody knew that our intention was to keep them safe and keep them healthy. So there was minimal complaining. And as a matter of fact, you know, sometimes here and there we'd get a suggestion of what else we could do. And it's worked. And
so you had a loop back. He's like,
weather's better, because we've asked people if possible to have lunch or their breaks in their car. You know, thank God it's not the middle of December when it's 2 degrees. So that's worked out well too. I mean, it's a good time pandemic. Nice spring.
So here we go. Pandemic. It's not tackling Northeast Ohio. It's global, baby. Yeah. And so in your operations, in what you're doing, are there anybody or any groups or any companies that you truly want to just reach out and say, hey, thank you, you're a hero of manufacturing? It could be whatever. What do you have on mind?
Well, before I go to the outside group, I have to thank my staff for stepping up immediately and being right on top of this. Our governor would have a news conference every day at 2 o'clock. And, you know, those that were working remotely might have done the wine with DeWine at 2 o'clock, but we didn't do that here. But we met, there was a group of us that would meet every morning at 7:30 and then every afternoon at 4, just to see what else we needed to tweak, what else was designated by the governor that we needed to implement. They were great. No one blinked. No one thought about it. Everyone knew we were all in. The only thing we were thinking about was the safety and the viability of what we were doing and how we were approaching it as Delta, as a community, and as a group of people. So right. That was great. Love the fact that no one kind of got upset. I have to even thank the IT department, because they did a great job, because, of course, most of the office is working remotely.
Yes,
a lot of the engineers are, and you know, they I think most people had access and the ability, but of course there were the tweaks and the problems with getting whatever material they needed to do whenever they were designing the product, whatever they were doing. We've had to make sure that the managers and the employees understood that we didn't want them coming in all the time. We have to have we have a great test lab. They come in and test the products, but we stagger that too. That's worked out really well. So I'm just very proud of the group and very happy that the group here at Delta has been understanding, open, and made my life easier, because I think I could not be very happy with myself if something happened to anyone here.
Right.
The Northeast Ohio community was great too. I would get emails all the time about where we could get, you know, rubbing alcohol, now I got it down, or spray alcohol, gloves, masks. Everyone was just kind of alerting everyone to where they could get the necessary PPE to help out. That was a big help.
See, what's interesting about the whole pandemic and the whole situation, yeah, there's that nasty side, and that was the real uncomfortable side and the fear side and all that stuff. But what the sort of that silver lining in that doom cloud is the fact that you, Delta, Lissa, had to reach out to other people to collaborate to find options and solutions, like just like, hey, I need alcohol. Where can I? Right. Well, we got this. And you've had this conversations that would never have taken place outside of this pandemic, which is a real positive. And so there's that dialogue that has been taking place, not just internally, which is encouraged, but also beyond the confines of Delta Systems. Right. So it's really an interesting comment and observation.
Right. And, you know, I do have to thank the governor and the lieutenant governor. They've done a great job. And Amy Acton, the medical head of the medical in Ohio, they've done a great job. I think that Ohio was one of the first to close down, and I think it's paid great benefits. And they've done whatever they can to open up and open up as wisely as possible so that I think Ohio is one of those states that will hopefully continue to do as well as possible, not have a big second wave, if there's any kind of second wave. So I'm just pleased at how, you know, pandemics can, well, this is my first pandemic, but tragedies, yeah. Problems, I'm not that old.
I was going to say, you know, hey, do you remember the Spanish flu? No, you don't remember the Spanish flu. You're not that old.
No. But, you know, it can bring out the best in people, and it truly has. You know, it's just amazing what people are doing, and I'm just happy and excited that this has really, you know, as you were saying, not only brought the Delta community together, but the Northeast Ohio and Ohio together, and even the country. You know, everyone, I think, is really understanding that it's not anything anyone did, but it's all something everyone has to take care of to make sure it's minimized the true destruction it could be.
Yeah, and I want to keep it going, right? So I love the fact that your heroes of manufacturing, definitely the government, meaning the governor, the lieutenant governor, the medical individual that you mentioned within Ohio, keeping the state safe, and then in Delta, you're talking about Northeast Ohio, all of the people trying to work together to keep things moving so that the people benefit and keeping people safe. And I just think that that's a great story to be able to sort of button up. And but if I wanted to get a hold of Lissa, a.k.a. Elizabeth Berry, how would I do that? What would be the best way for me to contact you and just say thank you outside of this?
I don't know. I mean, my email or...
Yeah, but see here, I've reached out on LinkedIn and I want to make sure that you, if somebody says, hey, I want to call, contact Elizabeth Berry because it's not Lissa.
Did I accept you on LinkedIn? I think I did.
Yeah, you did. You finally did after I shamed you after our first conversation.
Yeah, I just don't get on LinkedIn very often. It's like Facebook. You know, I'm a voyeur. I don't really engage much. Yeah, no. I mean, you want me to say my email?
No, that's okay. What we can do is probably you can reach out on LinkedIn, right. And you can also probably reach out via your website, right?
Right, very true.
And then be able, if you have any comments, questions, concerns, and if you're in the Northeast Ohio area, I don't care if you're in the United States, you got to reach out to Lissa Berry big time, and she's with Delta Systems, Inc. I got to put that ink in there because there's
some... Streetsboro, Ohio, because there are some Delta Systems out there, and we're not the faucet or the airlines.
There you go. See? Everybody knows the term Delta. Very good. Lissa, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Listeners out there, you do not walk away because we're going to wrap it up on the other side. I'm going to give you all the information that you need to be specific to Lissa, specific to Delta Systems, Inc., and how to get a hold of them. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Absolutely an honor. Once again, this platform is dedicated to you, the industrial professionals. You know, we celebrate. You do a lot. And that's why Heroes of Manufacturing is so doggone important. These are individuals that are passionate about what they do and definitely want to help you. They're very other focused, just like Lissa Berry. Reach out to her. She's got an incredible stat card out there on LinkedIn. Reach out to her. Find out more. What makes her tick? What makes her company and the people within Delta Systems tick? They're fantastic. Great company, great people. Absolutely 100%. And again, you need to go out to Heroes of Manufacturing. You need to see the companies that have said, yep, I want to collaborate. It's all out there. You know, this is a movement. Participate in it. We'll highlight you any way, shape we can. We're, you know, if you're into manufacturing, if you got a great story to share, if you want to nominate somebody, go out to Heroes of Manufacturing and make that nomination. Get involved. See who is participating and listen to the stories of just success and overcoming challenges and being able to be adaptable and everything you can imagine. Again, thank you again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. It's always an honor. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly, change the world. That's what you're all about. Thank you very much for what you're doing. Stay tuned for the next interview.